Spirit. Help us to be patient, to wait, for we know that you are working in your time and that you have a plan for each of us. We pray humbly that you would speak to each of us here today and that we would feel your loving hand on us, guiding us and giving us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all the blessings you have poured out upon us, and you continue to do so in our personal lives, our home lives, and our congregational life. We give you thanks and praise for this. We ask you now to receive from us these, our tithes and our offerings, which you give back to you as an act of worship and as an act of obedience. We ask you to bless them and multiply them. We ask you to give us and the leaders of this church wisdom as they use this offering, Lord, for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the children to come forward. And Tammy's going to...
that you've seen in the window or something, or a Marvel t-shirt, and mom says, no, it's not the right time, you'll have to wait. And you're like, no, but my friend has this pair of running shoes or this t-shirt, please, I don't want to wait. And she says, you'll have to wait. And so sometimes the answer could be yes right away, and sometimes it could be no, but sometimes it has to be wait. And you know what? That's kind of our relationship with God, that sometimes we ask for things, and our prayers are answered immediately. Other times, the answer is no from God. But so many times, he says for us to wait, right? And that's hard. I know, waiting's hard, eh? Yeah, I know. So I kind of wanted to give you an example of something in my life that I had to wait for. I had to wait 5 years for something, almost 6 years for something. And so it was, I discovered that I had kidney disease. And so what happened was my kidneys were deteriorating. And so it was like a long 5-6 years of just my kidney going down, and I was really sick a lot and everything. And so I was praying for healing. There were a lot of people praying for healing for me. And I didn't know, what Brianna was talking about, fear in the waiting, you know, worry in the waiting. I didn't know whether he would heal me. I didn't know whether I'd have to go on a machine to clean my blood, because that's what a kidney does. I didn't know whether I'd get a new kidney and have a transplant. So I'd often call my dad, because my dad is amazing, and he would say to me, Tammy, just wait. I know you're going to get a kidney. I know God's going to do a miracle in your life. And he was always hopeful. And there's a scripture that says, the Lord is good to those who wait, hopefully. So the Lord is good to those who wait in hope and expectantly for him, to those who seek him. That's in the Old Testament in Lamentations. And so when we wait with hope and with assurance, good things happen. And so there was a good end to the story. I ended up getting, my friend donated her kidney to me, and I have like new life with this new kidney. But sometimes the answer is no. I want to say that to you, right? That even we still wait with hope and expectation, but sometimes the answer is still no. But that's because the Lord knows, right? That the no answer is still good for us. We can learn a lot through the no also, and through the waiting. So the key is that we wait with trust And that's what my dad wanted me to do. He wanted me to trust God in the Lord when I was really down. And so I just wanted to share that with you. So let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you and be assured that you are taking care of us no matter what. Even when the answer is no or to wait, that you are working things for good in our lives, Lord, and that you know everything about us and you care about us. And thank you, Lord. And thank you for these children. And I pray that day by day they'll get to love your son more and more. Be with them in Sunday school today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tammy. Tammy, you have a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness through those difficult years. Thank you for sharing it every time you do. It's good. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are talking about waiting and trusting and obeying today. And your word tells us so often to just wait on the Lord. So Lord, we give you thanks that even though we're impatient at times, you are always very patient with us. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to this congregation, generation after generation. Lord, we marvel at it, that we have been blessed to inherit this place, this location, and this place of worship from generations who were faithful, who went before us. Many of whom, of course, their names are no longer remembered. But you have been faithful, Lord, and we pray that you will give us that grace to be faithful in return. Lord, we lift up to you today our dear sister Janet, Lord, suffering from anxiety. Just ask you to give her peace in her heart. Give her that deep sense of your presence. Teach her to trust. Let her know of your warm care and affection and love for her. Let her feel your presence today. Lord, we pray for Martin, who looks after her and cares for her. Lord, give him strength and give him patience. Lord, let them both just trust and wait on the Lord. And Lord, for our dear sister Ellen, Lord, still trying to settle into her new home, struggling with blindness, we just ask you to again be present in that room with her. Let her know that you love her and care for her, and you're carrying her through. And teach her to trust, and just trust in you. And Lord, for those here now today, families who are struggling, relationships that are hurting, Lord, bring a fresh outpouring of your peace, your love, and your joy on every family represented here. Lord, you know each of our days. You know all of our ways. Lord, teach each one of us to be gentle, kind, loving with each other, Lord, especially between husband and wife, between parent and child. Lord, I pray for that sweetness of your presence in our homes. Lord, for those who are struggling with financial challenges, employment issues, Lord, I pray a special blessing of your peace, of trust and hope, that you have everything in hand, and in your time, everything will be worked out. Lord, we pray for no panic, no anxiety, no stress. And now each one of you here today this morning has something to give thanks for this week past. Maybe you've got a real burden on your heart today. Now's the time, in the quietness of this place, for you to just be present with your Father, one-on-one, and speak with Him. Father God, thank you for hearing the prayers of your children. Lord, you know the prayers that have been prayed now. You know the unprayed prayers too. You know what's really on our hearts and on our minds. Lord, I pray now your Holy Spirit to fill each one of us here today. Fill us with that deep sense of your peace and your presence among us. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Still in that wonderful season of Easter, Resurrection, where we are pondering the empty tomb, and all the things that took place in the days immediately following. Last week we listened in as Jesus joined the two on the road to Emmaus, and following that when he assembled with all of the disciples together back in Jerusalem. We read that he opened their eyes to recognize him, and we read that he opened their minds to understand him. So we'll pick up the story in Luke 24, verse 45. And Luke writes, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." Luke 24, right at the very end of Luke's gospel. You know what would be a wonderful thing? Was if we brought our own Bibles from home, okay? And then you could like put a sticky note on a page or write a note or something to remind yourself to go back to that passage of scripture. If something comes out of the sermon that's notable or memorable, you could actually like write it down in your own Bible and take it home. So why don't we like try that? Why don't we bring our own books? And then we can write notes and our own little commentaries of what you heard in the message that resonates with you. And then you can continue our learning through the week that follows. So we're in Luke 24:45. "He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." And so Luke finishes his first book. We call it the Gospel of Luke. It's actually the Gospel of Jesus Christ, written by Luke. We just need to remember that all the Gospels are Christ's Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, written by those different authors. But Luke's investigation, which he carries out through the whole of that book of Luke, his investigation into the things of Jesus doesn't end with the gospel account. Luke went on to write a second book about what happened after. It was like his sequel. And he wrote about what happened to the early church. Then it was called the Followers of the Way, or they were called that. And this record is called the Acts of the Apostles, or Acts of the Apostles, or we simply call it the Book of Acts. So I'm going to read from the first 12 verses of the book of Acts, and you'll get this sense of the beginning of a sequel from the Gospel. And so in Acts chapter 1, so if you just finish Luke, skip over John, and then you'll find yourself in Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Just let me pause there. You see their thinking here? They're still back in Palm Sunday. They're still saying, "Yay, the king's here. The king's here. Hosanna." He's just told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait. The Holy Spirit's coming." And their next question is, "Are you going to restore the kingdom?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set on his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." After the resurrection and actually seeing and speaking with Jesus, the apostles are still bewildered, they're still confused, some are still unbelieving, yet the story's not over. There's more to come, much more, and even at this time, they're still not comprehending it. They're not getting it. So the command from Jesus is to wait in the city until something happens. They didn't know completely what was going to happen. Jesus had just said, "Wait until you've been clothed on high and baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I'm not sure they had any idea what that was all about until it happened. And I'm not sure many in the church today understand what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be fully immersed in the presence and power and authority of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, "Wait," and so they waited. Confused, bewildered, and fearful too. And as we've heard already today, waiting is not easy. Particularly waiting for God to do something during a difficult time in our lives. As individuals, as families, as a congregation, waiting is hard. Sometimes in our personal life or in the life of a congregation, we find ourselves in a season of change. And we become confused, resistant, bewildered. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why this is happening. And when we get to that point, whether in our personal life, our congregational life, that's the time to sit and wait, to watch and listen, because God is up to something. God is up to something. And whenever God is up to something, you know it's going to be better than the present situation. Think about that. If you're going through a time of change, time of challenge, what God's got in store is going to be better than today. Much better. While we're waiting for God to act, we may feel pretty low. We may get despondent. We may get scared. We may get ready to throw in the towel and say, I'm quit, I'm out of here, I'm done. Because we can't abide in the power and authority of God and just rest in the fact that he is God and he's up to something. See, the word of God invites us to consider that path. Rather than giving up or pushing against what's changing, what's happening in your life, the word of God says wait and trust and obey. And that takes more courage and more strength and more wisdom than chucking it all and walking away. Because you only get yourself into another heap of mess if you don't abide with God and wait for God to move. The Apostle Paul makes the comparison between the troubles in this life and the hope we have for the future. 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, the afflictions of this life are for a moment. They're all temporary. He said they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God working in you, working in me, working in us, is preparing us for that eternal weight of glory. Because we have waited, we've abided, we've trusted, and we've obeyed. And that eternal weight of glory awaits those who do that. Nothing that's happening in your life, my life, in our life together can come close to the eternal glory and blessing that awaits those who live by faith and wait in hope. The prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, 25 says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Doesn't that just rail against every fiber of our beings? We want to get up there and do something. We want to get action. And it says, no, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. To know that he does the heavy lifting. God has not forgotten you or your situation. God doesn't forget us at all. God has plans and purposes for each one of our lives, each one of our families, our homes, our careers. He knows. He knows everything that's going on. And he has plans and goals for us as a congregation. See, the disciples in this picture of this season, if you like, just after the resurrection, they go through a whirlwind of change. This is all happening like within 7 or 8 days. They've gone from the euphoria of Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King's here. We're finally going to throw out those Romans and have our country back. To the disaster, like 6 days later, of Good Friday. They killed him. And then 3 days later, the unbelievable events of the women saying their tomb is empty. And then the meeting on the road to Emmaus, then the meeting back in Jerusalem, opening their eyes, opening their minds. And now Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. But you stay here. And they're saying, well, is now the kingdom or what? He's saying, don't worry about the times. I've got that all in hand. You, wait. How do you think they felt? Just wait. Are you, in your life, in your family, in your home, are you in a whirlwind of change? But sometimes it just spins on you. There's one issue after another, after another, after another. There are so many things happening in your life that you feel you can't cope.
Can you wait upon the Lord? Can you sit silently and wait upon the Lord? Easy, isn't it? Come on, show hands. Who finds waiting on the Lord easy to do? It's not, is it? It's hard. It's hard. Each one of us has seen the hand of God in our lives at some point. You know, Tanya's given her testimony, and Tim has a very similar testimony. I don't hope you don't mind mentioning that, but you know, there are people here that can say, I'm only here because of God. I shouldn't be here, but God stepped in and I am. Right? During our time of repentance a few weeks back, we had four weeks where we were focusing on different ways of worshipping, and we introduced the idea of personal testimonies. And we heard wonderful testimonies of how God had touched individual lives. And these were our brothers and sisters who are sitting here today, came forward and said, let me tell you what God's done in my life. Let me tell you how God is continuing to work in my life. And God continues to work in the lives of all of us. God is faithful. And when he calls us to wait and be patient, it's because he's up to something. God is up to something. And you witnessed God's life, God's hand in your life before, and now you're in a difficult situation or a challenging moment. So why are you panicking? God's worked it through before. Has God changed? Is God going to drop you now? No. In Matthew 9, we see a number of miracles of Jesus. We see a paralytic healed. We see the woman with the hemorrhaging for 12 years healed. We see the ruler's daughter who died raised to life. We see two blind men given their sight. And we see a demon-possessed man have the demon cast out and a man restored to health. And the disciples, the followers of Jesus, witnessed all of these things. They were present when all of these things happened. Within a couple of days, they were out on the lake and a storm came up. And they panicked. They'd seen Jesus exercise authority over all of those things. And now a storm comes into their life and they panic. Lord, save us, we perish. O ye of little faith, Jesus said. O ye of little faith. Haven't you seen all the things I've done in your life before? Haven't you seen how I have authority over all of these things? I have authority over life and death. I have authority over nature. O ye of little faith. And how like this are we? We have the experience of the Lord's touch in our lives, yet when a time of challenge or struggle comes, we panic. We want to give up. We want to walk away. Jesus says, wait. Something better is coming. And if you listen, you'll hear him tell you that today. Something better is coming. Now, like the apostles, they were mere humans like we are. We don't see the future. We have no idea what God is up to. We see situations we're not happy with, or we encounter our own situations, and we're uncomfortable. And our first inclination, if you like, or our natural habit, is to want to move or to change something. But what if we change that natural habit? What if we change that natural inclination? What if we said, no, I'll put myself under no pressure. I'll abide in this situation. I'll just let this terrible situation that I'm in just wash over me, and I'll just abide and stew in it for a while, knowing that God's up to something. And when he takes me through this, It will be better than before. Sometimes we get pain, discomfort, and maybe we get angry, or maybe we get frustrated. But the scripture tells us to wait on the Lord, to abide quietly, and trust God. Be still in your own mind, and in the silence, listen. Listen to God speaking to you. You know, God can't speak to you in the noise. While I was preparing this, I was, I'm not the world's best typist, or I mistyped. And it occurred to me that the word silent, or Microsoft Word told me, the word silent and the word listen have the same letters. They're anagrams of each other. I'm getting a nod there. Really. If you're listening, you have to be silent. We have to step away from the busyness of life, as Jesus said in Matthew 6. He says, go into your room. Be quite alone with God. Listen in silence. And abide with him. See, life keeps throwing curveballs at us all the time. James 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whatever. Which means you do all the time. This one might get fixed, but you know and I know that there's another one coming. There's another one coming. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, and the next one will be different. This month is a financial problem. Next month is a health problem. The month after that is one of the kids, one of the grandparents, or each month there's something. Each month there's something. And James says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We're going to have many trials. They're going to be different. And they're going to seem like they come one after the other. Sometimes they come like this, don't they? On top of one. I had all of my trials, all in this month. What's with that? And we cry after God. And he says, wait, abide. I got this one, and that one, and that one. See, we think we have all the details figured out. We think we see the whole picture of our lives. Well, we don't. We don't see it at all. Just like those two on the road to Emmaus who had the audacity to say to Jesus, are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know of these events? And all the while, Jesus is the only one who knew about those events. They were the blind ones, not Jesus. He knew everything that was going on, and he knows everything that's going on in your life too. God has all the details. And we know very little. God sees the whole picture. We just have a glimpse of a few bits of the picture in our lives. God knows the beginning and he knows the end. We just see a present, a foggy memory of the recent past, and no view at all of the future. And yet we pray to God, oh God, do this, God, do that, fix this situation, fix that person. And God says, wait, chill. He doesn't say that. He does say, be still, Psalm 46:10. He does say, be still, be still, be still. Know that I am God. God's up here. We're down here. We don't see it all. We don't know it all. He does. We see our present situation through our own personal lens. You do not know with any great amount of detail what's going on in somebody else's life. So we must be very cautious to be critical. We must be very cautious because we don't know what's going on in that other person's life. Because we've only got one set of lenses. God has his plans. He has an eternal perspective. And here's another hard lesson for all of us. He's not asking for a show of hands for approval of his plans. God says, I'm working this out this way. You guys okay with that? It's ridiculous, isn't it? If God be God, what he's doing is the right thing. Every time. And it may seem to you that God is not taking action on your current situation today, or as instantly as you want him to. Doesn't mean he's uncaring or unwilling. It doesn't mean he's mad at you. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at us. You haven't done anything wrong. Well, unless you know you've done something wrong, in which case repentance is called for. But God's not mad at you. See, the way the world works brings pain and sorrow to all of us over time. It's because we live fallen lives in a fallen world. It's a broken place. It's a polluted place. It's a sin-filled place. And we're trying to abide in it. Abide in God, yet abide in the world. And so we hurt. When we cry out to God, he does hear. He's our loving Father. But do allow God the glory of knowing all things. And you don't. And I don't. God is up to something in your life. He's up to something in the life of this congregation. So when he says wait, we wait. The apostles waited. What would have happened if the apostles, in their own strength, said, yay, Jesus, he's now risen and ascended. Let's go out and tell everybody. Well, I don't think they'd have gotten to the walls of Jerusalem. They'd have been killed by the leaders because they didn't have the power to do that until Pentecost came. So they waited patiently. Sometimes we want what we want and we want it now, right? You know, that old prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. No, he says, wait, wait. Have we learnt yet to pray the way Jesus prayed? Nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. I will wait for your will to be revealed. Are we prepared just to wait on God? I wonder how many times we have missed God's best way because we wanted something our way. And we went off and we made a decision. Wait on the Lord. God is up to something. He's always up to something. God is working his plan. We have to remain faithful to what he's called us to do. We have to remain in complete trust. And in his perfect timing, as the song said today, in his perfect timing, all will be revealed. We have the blessing, of course, of knowing what happened to the disciples a few weeks later at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes in power and ignites the church. But they didn't know. They had to wait. 6 or 7 weeks, they had to wait. That must have been hard. When we wait for God, we can with confidence anticipate something better, something much better. The best we can hope for ourselves fades in comparison with the best that God has for us. While we wait for God, be sure that God is up to something. We're going to a time of meditation now. There's some verses from Scripture I want to read to you. And I want you just to think about them as I read through them. And the repetition here should tell us something. Because when God says something once in the Bible, it's important. When he says it twice, it's like, oh, God thinks that's important. When he says it 3 times, it's, oh, listen up. He said it 3 times. When he says it 4, 5, 6, 7 times, it's like, oh, it's, he has to repeat it. Those of us who've had children, no, you have to repeat it over and over and over again before they get it. And when they turn about 30, 34 years of age, they finally get it. But it has to be repeated. So let's just take a time of quietness and stillness while I read through these verses from Scripture. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 33:20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalm 37:34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Psalm 38:15. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. Psalm 40:1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Psalm 130:5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Psalm 130:6. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. And Micah 7:7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. What's God telling us? What's God telling us? You haven't listened? I've been speaking for 20 minutes. What did he say? What's he saying?
Wait,
be patient. I got this. Listen to God say, I got this. Put problems in your life, challenges in your life, God's got it. He knows it. Wait and be patient. The apostles waited, and it was a difficult time. They could have been arrested and executed at any time. Both the Romans and the Jewish leaders would have wanted this movement quashed before it got started. But they waited. Will you now this day submit your struggle to the Lord? You know that I know a lot of you here. And I know the struggles. Okay? I'm trying not to make eye contact with anyone in particular. But you know you've got struggles in your hearts, in your lives, and in your homes, and in your families. Will you tell God, I give up? I give it to you. I'll wait for you to move. I'll wait for your answer. Enter into his rest. Stop fighting it. You can't win. God can't be manipulated. He can't be hurried. You and I must surrender to his timing. We must tear up our agenda and ask him for his. Will you let the Lord of the universe take your burden, take our burden as a congregation, and let him manage it for you and let him manage it for us? Will you let go and let God? Will you wait because God is up to something? Ask the choir to come up now. They've got a wonderful anthem to begin our closing time together. While they're coming up, I'm just going to offer a word of prayer. Father God, we've heard repeatedly now through Scripture that we've got to stop being us, stop being patient, and stop waiting for you to act. Lord, give us the courage to do just that. And the choir anthem today, we're going to hear the words, "May the Lord show his mercy upon you. May the light of his presence be your guide. May he guard and uphold you. May his spirit be ever by your side." Times of waiting are very challenging. God is up to something in your life, in your family, in your home. He's up to something in the life of this congregation. Sometimes when we're in those kinds of struggles, it can feel like we're in a furnace and the churn just goes on inside of us. And we want God to fix things. But as much as God does want to address and fix problems we have in our lives, what he really wants to fix is you and me. Take this season of struggle and challenge as a time of refining. God working on you. God working in you. Allow yourself to be fully immersed in that difficult and challenging situation. Abide in it, in the foreknowledge that God is up to something in you. His greatest desire is to not make this life perfect for you, but to make you a perfect reflection of him. God wants each one of us to be holy. He wants us to wait for that power of that Holy Spirit to engulf us and fill us and refine us, so that the world sees Jesus Christ when it sees each one of us. And the world knows of Jesus Christ when it sees Christian Baptist Church. Allow ourselves to be completely refined by these challenging times. Abide in them and wait for the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." As you go from today, go with that great, blessed hope that God is up to something. And he wants access to your heart, to your life. And he wants our lives fully submitted to him so he can do his work of refining. Go in peace today and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone you meet. Go in peace. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to ask the three deacons that are here to stay at the front in case somebody wants to come forward for prayer. We'll be here. Go in peace. Amen. And if you're visiting with us, please come down and have a coffee.